And you gonna murder this one and murder that one. Talking all that bullshit. I'm gonna put it to you like this, yo.
This is for the nerds. This is for the brainiacs. This is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back. You ain't gonna touch me. You not gonna do nothing. You are not above me. I bet you wish you was me. I know that I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my boy, Guapito! What's poppin' in Mexico?
I think poker's done, dude. I think I just need to put all my money in crypto.
Wow.
It's what do you mean?
It's tanking.
It's you can buy it at a discount, buddy.
Top signal.
Buy the dip. Yeah.
He waited till it gets to its highest point ever, and he's like, I'm going to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, but that's like 90% of people.
I mean, it did retrace like almost 15%, so he's kind of right to buy now.
Well, I did buy a nice little chunk a few months ago, so.
That's nice.
Okay. All right. What kind of chunk are we looking at here? You don't have to say numbers. I'm just saying, you know, are we talking like a bad beat jackpot at the South Point, or are we talking like your hourly at 1-3?
Or like Kitty Crow's car that I've made
almost
Landon was going to buy.
A quarter of a new Tesla Model 3.
Oh! Wow.
I wish I knew what that meant.
It made $10,000.
Oh, okay. Wait, they're 40K?
Yeah.
I thought they were cheap now.
The cheapest one you can get has 40 dimes.
Let's go.
I know cheaper.
Are you trying to buy a Tesla Model 3?
If everything goes the way I expect it to, then at the end of this year, I would like to trade.
Interesting. I know somebody who might be selling one at discount.
There happens to be a non-functioning one.
Correct.
In our...
That's what you want, one that doesn't run.
It's literally been sitting there for what, 16 months now?
It's quite remarkable, actually.
I mean, listen, he's just, once he gets his license, he'll be able to drive it.
You want to know what's funny about all this?
Is that
there was a time frame where I had to turn my lease in and I was working on getting a new one. And during that time, Landon owned the Tesla. And rather than, you know, leasing it to me for a short period of time or something like that, he just let it collect dust and turn into a goddamn sack of rocks.
Mm.
And now here I am.
Here you are.
With a non-electric car.
Yeah.
Mucking up the environment.
Right.
Fucking it up.
The environment is in the muck.
Is it? I think we're doing okay.
We'll be all right.
We're going to make it through our generation.
This car is in the muck.
Just don't reproduce kids.
That's what this is all for.
Let's end it all.
Why? I'm having a birth in the tiny house.
Okay, look.
The tiny house.
If you're going to convert the tiny house into a birthing house, I'm not going to get the tiny house. You can convert the tent.
You are.
No, you can convert Conrad's tent.
No,
I'm not having it in the tent. That thing stinks.
No way.
My baby's gonna be born like high as fuck.
Yeah. Not allowed in my tent.
Who's your doula?
Do you want to be? Are you open?
I'm getting certified as we speak.
Okay, yeah, you could be my doula.
All right.
I think that you would have a gentle touch.
He's really good at swaddling the kids.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, well, they really do the most of like the pulling?
Oh, okay. I understand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I actually don't understand. I, for the life of me, don't understand how birth works. It just seems
it's
so
really
painful.
Gnarly. Yeah, you should check it out.
I'd rather not. All right, we got a great show for you guys today. Let's get off of this birthing topic. Tom Dwan is in the muck. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
It's not a hand, it's a person.
That's true. Ignition also mucking around. We're going to be joined by Patrick Howard and Matt Marinelli.
Hey, me.
Sometime around 12:30. And we're going to discuss what's been going on over there with the bots, with the collusion rings, and with the fact that they ghosted Landon on his final payment as an ambassador.
Wow.
Give my money.
Yeah, fucking rude.
Pay that man his money.
How much of a Tesla are we talking about here, Landon?
Half a one.
Like half
a Tesla.
Oh, man.
Plus more, right?
Name and shame. Name and shame.
Oh, man.
Is your account still locked?
I have to unlock it. It's on me.
Do you have money in there?
Oh, it's on you. Yeah, he has like a significant amount of money on there.
What is the matter with... All right.
Landon is a Tesla human.
I'm going to take a beat and I'm going to have a very hard conversation with Landon. What the fuck is wrong with you,
man? I have that answer.
A lot.
Go on. 24 years old.
Doesn't matter.
No, that's not an excuse.
I disagree, man. When I was 24...
I could account for every single fucking penny.
As Landon is right now. That's
neither
why.
Is Landon. Landon's paper rich.
I'm paper
Landon
rich.
Has a tab with me that is nearing
small. Nearing Conrad,
not small.
You keep winning.
Still not small.
Tab, give him the tab. Give him the tab.
I don't have an actual tab. It's a scam tab.
If there were a run on the bank tomorrow and I said, Landon, give me my money, I would own a Tesla.
That's how big your tab is. Look at it.
No.
Like it's sitting on the table.
I could pay you. I would just have to get money from Stars.
But probably unlock your Ignition account.
Solana's been doing all right. I could pay you.
I don't accept Solana. I don't want your shit coin.
That's a personal issue. Well, you can change it. You can convert it.
You can convert it.
Yeah, you can convert it, buddy. I'm not here to do all your accounting.
You know, there's no accounting to do.
Man.
He can send you USDC, but it's going to be on the Solana network.
Yeah. Absolutely not. I don't want anything.
He can send you Bonk.
Yeah.
He can send you Bonk.
How about Dog with Hat? That's what you want. You want Dog with Hat.
Maybe.
Yeah, you have a hat.
Cute little dog with a hat on.
The hat is on.
It's actually called Gatsby with Hat.
Okay, now I'm a little more interested.
All right, now we're talking.
Okay, now we got a Gatsby coin, now we're talking.
Okay.
Wapo and I are going to start our own coin. It's going to be called El Tortuga.
Yeah. Well, okay. I've been saying for,
two years
that I was going to, next cycle, yeah. I said, I'm going to start a coin called Matt Berkey's Inu Come Rocket 6920.
Right, and then we'll show it to our OnlyFriends community.
And here we are.
Yeah, so buy it, and you will. There's a guaranteed 100x.
There's nothing to buy, though.
Well, yeah, it will. It'll moon.
You got to get in early.
Moon. Yeah. You could get it on the ground floor.
Right.
Below the ground floor.
Matt Berkey, Solana, come, Inu Fart, 69, Sonic.
I do not approve of my use of likeness here.
Well, you don't really have a say.
So. Do I have to upload 10 high-quality photos to your site? Listen, I have to... this goes out to all content creators out there. If you ask somebody to be a guest on anything that it is that you're doing in any sort of capacity, whether it's a live stream, a podcast, or anything of the sort, please, for the love of God, do not ask them for 10 photos of themselves. It's the most ridiculous request I've ever heard in my entire life.
What are they going to use 10 photos for?
This is the third time in a week somebody's made this request of me. Like
for a podcast, like different podcasts.
One was for a podcast, one was for a live stream, and one was for something else. I don't recall
doing that, but make them do like videos of them doing handstands or something.
I don't want to do work to be a part of something.
There are plenty of pictures of you on what's called the internet. They can probably pull them.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Like
they could find 10 on there.
Do people think I'm just sitting around taking fucking photo shoots all day?
Yeah,
long?
Yeah, you are.
We have to look at a shirtless picture of you every day.
Hey, mute me.
All right.
I'm just waiting for those abs to pop. I don't know.
Me too.
It's almost, we're like day 60. What's going on here?
I'm going to have to extend this one.
Why are your friend doing this to you,
well,
man?
He's not wrong.
That's cool.
He's really not wrong. The weight is coming off, but the leanness is not coming through. I'm going to have to extend this.
You look
this.
Like you're getting bigger. I'll say that.
Ironically, I'm not.
You're actually getting smaller.
I don't know. Yeah. The picture's different lighting.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's also true.
You know what we're going to do, actually?
You're moving into an appropriate weight.
No more coin. We're going to start an NFT collection. Of Berkey's shirtless pictures. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's become towel bro.
I think 75 hard is going to turn into 90 miserable.
It's a 90 PFP collection.
Yeah, I think the final 15 days. Am I going to get compensated for this?
No.
I don't want this to be like the homeless situation.
No, it's the homeless situation.
Oh, see, that's fucked up.
You can't do anything. It's crypto.
Taking advantage of a.
It's the Wild West.
Good old boy.
Yep. You want to know what's really fucked up?
What's that?
We just got Scout's results back.
Did we?
Yep.
Oh no.
Chihuahua.
Scout's 30% Chihuahua.
I knew it.
That's why her bark sucks so much.
Yeah, I was sure of it. It's her underbite. Her underbite
and,
like always.
And
makes
she like
so
she
much
like is kind of like shaky and freaky. Like oh my god,
makes she's so much sense now.
How did a pit bull mate with a Chihuahua?
Yeah, that sounds not.
How
fun.
You're like, a Chihuahua owner?
Which one is the mother?
30%
has to be the pit bull, right?
Is it 70% pit bull? Is there other anything else in there?
She's probably not even pit bull. She's just like a bunch of random stuff.
No, I'm very confident. She's
Corey
pit bull.
Just said you can only be sad if she's 31% or more, and she's 30.
Hopefully, he sends the rest. But yeah, I'm pretty confident. Gatsby is a good boy. He's 100% American
purebred.
Pit bull. Yeah, how do you...
He can say the N-word.
I'm sorry. What?
He's 100% purebred.
Okay.
Man can say the N-word.
Wait, but you're not purebred.
That's different.
What is different?
What is
you're halfway.
Your attitude is different.
I mean, granted, it is just pit bull, but it is kind of surprising to be a purebred dog from the shelter.
It is.
You know, adopt, don't shop. You heard it here.
He's where did you find him?
The shelter.
Wow, she's only 25% pit bull.
What's
the rest?
Demon.
Live DNA results here like on the Only Friends podcast.
I thought she was going to be pit Jack Russell.
We need to pull up a picture of Scout.
We got to get Scout.
But that was copium. Because I knew, like, deep down in my heart that she was pit Chihuahua. But I was like, it could be Jack Russell.
Wait,
here's the final results.
So.
Berkey, you are not the father.
Yeah, that's very clear.
Corey is the father.
Corey is the father.
It's so funny because when we adopted her as, like, you know, a little puppy, she just looked like a pure pit. And we were like looking at, you know how you get dogs. You're like, oh, look at the paws. She's going to be.
Know.
We were positive she was going to be bigger than Gatsby. Yeah. And he's 70 pounds.
Yeah.
I was positive she was going to outgrow him. Like, it was just so clear. She had like.
But she's dense. Like, she's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
She's muscular.
She's very small and 35 pounds.
Yeah, she's
so she's half his size. But yeah, then she just like stopped growing it a year in. And I was like, oh, no, we have a Chihuahua.
Oh, man, I'm trying to find a picture of her.
What a disappointment.
That bark is so 100% bark Chihuahua. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's the worst.
It is bad.
I mean, Rudy's is bad, too, though.
I walked her today.
Rudy's just relentless. He just doesn't stop.
He's a herder. That's clear.
Yeah.
She is an alarm system. I walked her with Gatsby for a mile and a half. And I would say she barked for 90% of the
walks. I was like, oh, I'll take the dogs for a relaxing walk one day, and then it was like the opposite because Scout is just like screeching the whole time. It's like, this is not relaxing.
21% boxer.
Okay,
that makes sense too.
Okay,
she's got a little G in her.
Yeah, she's 3% bulldog.
What does that even mean?
That's
how can attitude. It be so many percentages?
That's the attitude. Well, what happened was I assume it was her mother, but her mother was probably part pit, part boxer, part bulldog. And then the father was probably part spaniel, part chihuahua, part super mutt, whatever the fuck
like
that is.
But two mutts bred.
Yeah.
We got a picture coming for you guys.
You're about to see the prettiest dog. She's so pretty.
She's not. It's a face only a father could love.
You're out of your mind.
You and Rudy.
That's not her father.
Rudy is disgusting.
Rudy is so handsome.
I think all the dogs are very beautiful dogs. Look at that.
Aw, look at her. She's such a baby.
You came into your face.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good one. I couldn't get it.
There's literally 100 of them on my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go there.
Come on, man.
I was going through my own photos.
One exceptional dog.
Not your dog. Speaking of new dogs, I'm going to have one in 1 month after the WPT cruise that we're all going on. My sister
named Harper.
Nope.
What, that won every poll.
I know.
So what's the point of the poll?
What was the point of the poll?
I was just curious.
It can't be Harper.
Here's a poll.
I will have a Harper in the future. She's just, this one's not Harper.
It looks like a Harper.
I think
no,
so.
No, Harper's too tame for this one.
Harper's
she's got some spunk. She's got some spunk to her. We're gonna call her Pip.
Do we have a picture?
Yeah, it's in my Twitter thread. If
it's kind
of
Guapa
finds Pip it. Short for something? It's just
Pip. It's like the poker thing.
Pip squeak.
It's not the poker thing.
Pip squeak.
It's not
Pip
squeak.
That's what I thought. He's like, I thought you meant like Pip.
It's the main character in Great Expectations.
Oh my God!
No, there's a bad book, man.
Wait a minute. Is that from a
Is that where Finnegan came from? Like Finn?
Finn yeah. was the movie version of the same character.
You don't even like fiction books.
I love Great Expectations. It's one of my favorite books.
I only
named
my dogs after characters in novels.
It didn't start that way. It just ended that way.
Now you can't stop.
Yeah, now you can't stop. We have a theme.
Whisper.
Why are we whispering?
I just don't.
It's from the movie.
Yeah, I got it.
I just don't like it. I like Harper so much more.
That makes me like Pip even more.
One Pip.
Pip sucks.
You're the only one.
Pip squeak.
You know
pip,
how long it took me to realize there was actually a poker thing?
I thought you were doing like a lame poker thing. And no. I was like, oh.
No, but I will say that everybody who answered in thread has a lot of bad ideas. They're like, name her Ace. Name him King. Name him.
Nobody wants to name him Ace
Binks.
Or King or Binks. No. Doug's dog name is Binks, actually.
Of course it is. It's like the Lamanna whenever we first started playing poker. He had like a half dozen t-shirts that were like poker the shirts, king and queen.
Or the poker tattoos.
Honestly, you should just name him Doug.
Maybe Nickel.
Doug is a great name.
Look at the wrinkly forehead. I feel like she's going to look like Gatsby kind
so
of.
Good girl. So she's half...
that was like Harper.
Rottweiler.
Half Rottweiler, half Pitbull.
Oh, it's Harper.
It's a girl.
We can just call her Harper.
Harper's.
There's no nickname for Harper either.
You don't see many Pitbull. I mean, Rottweilers anymore. I don't ever see them.
Yeah, so my friend back home has one.
Gatsby's new name is Biden, so we really make up names around
here. The nickname doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be short for anything, because like, I call Scout Mentowdy, and Gatsby is Biden.
Why is he Biden?
Because he's old and he doesn't know where he is.
He's like, looks into the abyss, looks into yonder.
He knows exactly where he is. Shut your mouth.
He's on a nice pasture.
Is that the one that barks at the air?
Yeah, he does not bark at the air. He's unlocked another dimension in his own age.
He definitely is living in another dimension.
Yeah, he knows that there are things among us that we can't see, so he barks at them to scare them off.
He's living in dementia is the dimension he's in.
Dementia.
I don't know what you're talking about. So Pip is going to be joining us after the WSOP, after the WPT cruise.
Pod dog?
Huh?
Pod dog?
She will definitely be a pod dog for like the first 6 months at least.
Why can't we bring on the other? We can't bring the other ones because they're just
they're
gonna wreck my set.
It's more that they don't need to come, and they're very happy at home. But like for her, I don't want to leave her alone while she's still a puppy.
Rudy came on because you guys were saying he was a demon, and he was
he's a demon,
perfect angel.
He was not a perfect angel
on camera. He was.
He was a nightmare.
He was sitting next to me, and everyone was like, "Oh, what are they talking about? Rudy's so sweet. He is so sweet."
Your dog needs. Discipline training.
I'm not a disciplinarian, okay?
That's abundantly clear.
Your dog needs fucking rehab.
Yeah, he's addicted to food. Yeah,
he's just on the counter at all times.
Yeah, well, he likes food. I mean,
Butter Bandit.
What can I say?
Butter Bandit.
That thing is crazy.
The crumble cookie bandit.
He'll eat whatever.
He
anything.
Literally eats anything.
Potential fire starter. Anything.
I was sitting in the living room the other day, and I just heard something, and I was like, I was doing something, so I was like, whatever. I don't know what that was. Then I turn around like a minute later. I was like, wait, this motherfucker. And I just see a crumble box on the floor. And he actually went upstairs, came back downstairs, grabbed the empty crumble box, and started to bring it upstairs.
Yeah, he brings it upstairs.
I was like, fucking psychopath.
He always brings
he's so funny.
He always brings everything upstairs to his little spot. And then he doesn't eat it downstairs. He'll carry it up and then open it there.
There was legitimately a half dozen cookies in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ate probably two. So
he had three cookies. I watched it.
Yeah, so
like I saw it right before. Right.
That's okay.
He had the cookie donut.
He used to be so skinny.
Yeah, he's definitely gained weight. Yeah.
Oh, he's huge.
He's fat.
You're gonna have to start walking him.
Yep.
So I tried it before. It's not a fun task. He puts a rock in his mouth the first 30 steps out of the
Scout, and it's like you're going deaf. Like he's quiet.
I wear headphones. I will tell you this.
No headphones.
There are a remarkable amount of dogs in our neighborhood, and she knows where each and every fucking one of them lives. We walk up, we get within 10 yards of a house that has a dog, and she's barking. She is on alert.
Yeah, I hear it from the house. Yeah. When you take her on the walk, I can hear her from the house.
She woofing. Yeah.
There's not a part of your walk that we don't hear her from.
It's just constant.
I walk a mile and a half away.
And we hear it.
We hear it.
Scout's bark reaches miles.
Oh, man. Well, maybe she can be the town crier for people who are lending money to certain someone. This, I guess, is your PSA. Lot of accusations coming out against Tom Dwan. This goes to prove never meet your heroes.
Cue the picture of him winning the Triton tournament.
Wins the Triton tournament.
Oh, my God, that face.
Well, so the latest updates are obviously the Peter Jett one. Where we had spoken about this maybe a week ago or so. Peter said that the update is that Tom sent him about 30K, but things aren't looking good. One of the most recent combos went something like this. He says, I'll pay the remaining balance at Jeju. Peter replies, no, I don't believe you. He says, if I don't, I'll add 25K on top. Which, by the way, what a bad tactic. Like, this is a Dustin the Closer type of tactic. Yeah. Like, hey, I know I owe you a pile of money, but if I don't pay you by this date, I'll just tack more on.
This
it's like...
imaginary money.
Right. It's just like, if you're so freely just throwing large sums of money on top of what you already owe, you probably just don't have it to pay.
Yeah, you're probably not going
to
pay.
You're just trying to win another tournament.
Right. So then Peter says he switches gears and says he doesn't owe the full amount and that he's a liar / scum. This is after 4 years of saying he'd pay the full amount soon. He was always civil and I was giving him more time But when I put my foot down, he changed tactics completely. I've never dealt with somebody this unethical. To lean into this a little bit further, for what it's worth, I also found out that Tom was the one who sent the recording to Vertucci because he was playing criminal mastermind, to get to the bottom of things.
I thought that was someone else.
Deeb was the only person who had a copy of it, who shared it with Durr. Oh, okay. Durr then sent it to Vertucci.
Yeah, that was weird. He was like tweaking on that J4.
He looked like he was on meth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bad look for Tom. But what's funnier about this is Haralabob then came forward, which I guess he kind of sort of came forward five or 6 years ago, but didn't really name names. In this instance, though, he's not being shy about it. Basically said that at one point, Durr was working on a free roll to be a beard for him. He was getting bets down versus a bookmaker for very large sums, and they'd won high seven figures. But that Durr still owes him $350,000, and the only reason he was even paid a large chunk of the seven figures he was owed was because somebody else that was, I guess, formerly a beard for Haralabob owed Durr a bunch of money. Mm. And so he paid off that aspect of it. Now, what's funny about this is that they played the $1 million, or maybe they didn't play the $1 million game together. Maybe Haralabob was just watching it.
No, he played it, didn't he?
Did he play? I honestly don't remember.
So. He played the ACL $1 million game, I'm pretty sure.
I really don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But anyway, Haralabob says, Tom does not dispute the debt. He knows he's responsible for it. And our last conversation was after the HCL $1 million match. So I don't think he played it. I think he probably just hit him up afterwards, which we know Durr was one of the biggest winners. I think he won, what, 1.7-ish, something like that? Mm-hmm. Maybe more? Maybe 3 million? I don't remember. He won a pile, though. And Haralabob said, like, you know, I just requested that he pays me a small monthly amount, at which point he ghosted. There's a lot more to this story, basically.
What does it mean to be a beard?
It means that you are... Well, in the sports betting world or in general?
Gay man's wife.
I know one of them. Okay. The one I'm asking you about.
Okay, so in the sports betting world, it means you're a non-sharp betting for a sharp.
Okay.
So you're Sean Perry.
Hoorah!
Yeah. Sean Perry's definitely bearding for somebody.
Haralabob was in that game.
Was he?
Yep, he was sitting right next to him.
Okay, that's even that's better.
He's literally sitting to the left of Tom.
That's why he said imagine winning a 3.1 million pot right in front of you and then offering to make payments, $30,000
slid it right over.
I would have reached over and grabbed that shit.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think everybody understands that Durr's not wealthy, like, or at least not overly wealthy, given all the debts that he owes. It seems as though he can't pay them.
Maybe he's paper rich.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, like, my point that I'm getting at is, like, when he's playing that $1 million game, it's very clear that's not all his money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think outside of, like, maybe Roble and I don't know. I don't even know who else I could name in poker that would be playing a $1 million game and have 100% of themselves. It's literally just like Roble.
Yeah.
I think it's just Roble. Yeah.
It's just Roble.
Well,
just
I mean, like professionals.
Yeah. Yeah. And racks.
So. Yeah. I guess Airball probably has all of himself. You know, investment banking's been good.
He didn't have all himself versus you, so.
He did not have all of himself versus me in spite of all the claims.
I wonder who had it.
I know who had it.
Yeah, we all know.
He sold 40% to the HCL guys, like Feldman, all those guys. They all got wrecked.
Mars had a big piece, didn't he?
He probably had a bit. He came out
and said it.
I would bet that he sold more than 40%. But Feldman told Brent that, maybe it wasn't Brent, but he told somebody that they all had a piece.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mars came out and said that whole thing that he had a big piece.
And then I have other friends that are like within that crew, and they were all a part of the group chat. Well,
if you're not gonna get to play on Hustle anymore, might as well do it this way, right? This is the next best thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you just get to indirectly.
Gift keeps on giving.
Yeah, indirectly take money. Next is hopefully they all have a piece of JBEX. One way or another, I'm just gonna get in there and I'm gonna take them $100,000 at a time, baby.
I hope there was a little blank check band money in there too.
There definitely was.
He showed up to support his boy very hard.
For sure.
That's why he was sweating.
For sure, I got some blank check band money, and for sure, a lot of side bettors got blank check band money. Like,
we love blank check.
I'm very confident that whoever Lynn was shilling for to fill all that action was not herself.
Shout out to BCB.
Shout out to he disappeared, huh?
Who?
Yeah, he made a website about how he's not a scammer, and then
and then just vanished.
Investing in mobile homes.
He made a website.
It was like funny, like buying a domain to be like, I am not a scammer.
Bunch of weird shit going on in that whole thing. I'm glad it's all over.
Are you though?
Yeah.
Do you think it's over?
It's not. No, but right now it is, and I'm very happy with that, about that.
Yeah, for the time being, I suppose so. I don't imagine anything's ever over. Like, the thing is, like, obviously we meme, we have a good time about it, but the truth of the matter is, like, especially for this show, we're super thankful for HCL. But it's not even just that. Like, I think the poker world as a whole should be thankful for it, because a big driving aspect to getting those lineups together is, you know, people who are kind of on the fringe are willing to put themselves out there in public, in the public eye. Mm-hmm. And usually what that's going to do is just like suss out a lot of bad behavior. You know, if you put yourself on camera 100 or 200 hours a year with a bunch of, you know, potential dirty money or whatever, at some point somebody's going to talk, you know, at some point someone's going to be like, hey, I think this guy's cheating.
Talking about dirty money, was Bally's fucking running background checks on everybody? What type of paperwork are they signing? Did they sign their life over?
It wasn't easy. It was not easy. But that's good. I think they're operating with like a pretty strong KYC.
We want dirty money. What do you mean?
Well, as the players, sure. Please, but like,
what are you talking about?
As we had to control, like, Eric Hicks was talking about what it took to wire in there, and they basically like did a full background check on him. Like, he's like, I'm not doing it, because like they wanted to know, like, you know, basically a lot of personal things. He said it felt like I was filling out a job application. But you know, that's good. They're compliant. They're going through a lot of KYC. While we're on the topic of, you know, scrupulous behavior and KYC. Let's get into this Ignition accusation. So, yesterday, Patrick Howard put a thread up that was a follow-up to a previous thread where he was basically demonstrating how there has been a lot of collusion on Ignition, which to my knowledge, I believe is the last remaining of the anonymous sites, making a lot of this a little bit more possible. Now, I think part of what they do in order to prevent or allow, I guess, the community to suss it out is they provide you a day later with cards up hand histories. And I think that that's how some of this was ultimately divulged as being a collusion ring. Also, there's a lot of demonstrations of the bots malfunctioning. So we're going to discuss that, as well as a follow-up to the GG with both him and Matt Marinelli. I see we have Matt here. Do you want to accept Patrick there, Guap? You want to admit him?
He's been admitted.
So. All right, he's been admitted. All right, so let's get to it. Welcome, boys. Patrick, let's start with you first and foremost. What was the impetus of this tweet? And I guess, how long have you been working on gathering all this data? You're muted right now.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. It was brought to my attention late last year, and it kind of flew under the radar for me because I don't really have any students right now below 2K&L on Bovada. There were a couple of 2K&L, and that was it. And I think that stake was a little bit safer. But I started hearing from a lot of people that their results were suffering at mid-stakes, and multiple stables told me that they had seen like a major drop in results. So then I started doing some database reviews for people, and the stats that I was seeing on Bovada just looked really weird. Like, the pool was just playing very differently from how I had seen any other pool play. And there were some signs that indicated like bot behavior to me. Like, they were playing similar to how I had seen bots play on ACR. And we were dealing with ACR bot issue at the same time. So I figured if it's happening on ACR, it's happening on Ignition too. Then I started to play a little bit, and I hadn't played mid-stakes on Bovada in a long time. And I just very quickly realized that like something is really wrong with these games. You know, like way too many hands going multi-way to the flop, and a lot of like reg type players taking very weird lines. sort of like non-human lines, and again, lines that I'd seen the ACR bots take. So back in January, I made the first big post about this because it was clear that Ignition wasn't refunding anybody. Like anytime someone would send over a blatant collusion spot, they would just kind of respond with like a basic email and then nothing would happen. And it seemed like Ignition was going to do something after my first post because they responded to it. But, you know, we're here like 2 months later and it doesn't seem like the situation has changed very much. So we compiled a bunch of evidence and, you know, tons of collusion hand histories and evidence of malfunctioning bots on the site. And I just put that out yesterday. So that's where we are today.
Okay. So I guess in order to make this a little bit more clear for the audience, are we talking about two separate problems here with a potential collusion ring and then a potential bot ring, or is it kind of one and the same where you suspect that the people who are botting are also the people that are colluding?
I think it's probably both. I could be wrong about it, but there are some ways that you can identify bots at the table, and it seems like, you know, those indicators are showing up in the hand histories where we're seeing collusion happen. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that, you know, if you have all these people who are cheating on the site, that they'd also be the ones who are colluding.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense. Walk me through a little bit of the video where the bots are timing out, or not timing out, sorry, where they have a zero VPIP or whatever. They're just not playing any hands. How common is this, and how much of a part of the ACR bot ring was this sort of like data collection and seeing them malfunction?
It's not super common, but, you know, I've had several people in my network reach out to me and show me this. So like, it only happens every once in a while, but if you know a lot of people, you'll know people who have seen it happen for sure. I think what happens is something in their software glitches, like maybe they try to look up a spot because they are using like a sort of RTA mm-hmm. lookup type system, I think. And, you know, maybe some weird spot like crashes their software or something, and it's going to stay that way until, you know, whatever operator is there to reboot it. So what you'll see is that these accounts don't time out or disconnect or sit out or anything. They'll just continue playing sometimes for over 100 hands, and they'll just time down to the same, you know, amount of time every single action before folding. So it's not super common, but it is a good, it's kind of like a telltale sign that you're dealing with a robot,
that
not a human.
That did come from the ACR investigation though, because I was collecting as much info as I could, and people were sharing, you know, video and evidence of ACR bots malfunctioning, and someone basically sent that video and said, hey, look at this. Same exact thing is happening on Ignition the same way. So we didn't release it at the same time because we didn't want to confuse the message and just focus on ACR in that moment, but right. We also knew that this was going to be something to address down the line.
While we're on the topic of botting, before we get into a little bit more of the collusion ring stuff, Matt, can you give us a bit of an update as far as what you've heard at ACR? I know that they did a small batch of refunds. Is there any public knowledge as far as like how much that was, who was affected, if they're going to do another round? Are we anywhere near that 10 million mark that they had claimed?
Well, at the moment, as far as I know, they haven't stated how much they've refunded, and they haven't mentioned any plans to the pros that they're going to, basically they're not going to tell us, as far as I can tell. Maybe at some point once mm-hmm. they get, it's kind of ambiguous and we're a little bit in the dark. So whatever public relations messages have been put out, I guess anyone could look that up. But I think just common sense would tell you that if they refunded an amount that they were proud of, that they would have mentioned it. So I don't think we're even remotely close to the $10 million mark. But I mean, the good news is that the ACR reps have been communicating more with the players. They're in the Discord now, along with you, the anti-RTA Discord. And there is a line of communication, and they have said that there will be more waves of refunds over time. There were also new bots that allegedly came back onto WPN, and they told us that they froze those accounts as soon as they got on there, which is very important, because one thing we mentioned last time is that a really critical way to make sure that these bot farms stay banned is to keep banning them, because they're going to come back wave after wave. So you need to be persistent in continuing to ban them. So I guess to give them credit, they did say that they froze the new accounts. So hopefully they can be persistent. I would love to see a little bit more transparency. I don't expect necessarily ACR to tell us about every ban and every refund that happens, but I think that this was such a special case and it was so public that it would be very smart for them to be a little bit more forthright with the players. But it's still an ongoing story.
Yeah, and I hope the community kind of understands how important you guys and that entire community of high stakes guys in the Discord that are diligently policing this, how important you guys are to this process, because, you know, it really is a squeaky wheel gets the grease type of thing. I don't imagine operators care all that much if it goes undetected. I guess, Patrick, help us out a little bit here with demonstrating the collusion. I went through the thread of 20 some hands that you posted as evidence, and to the naked eye, I'm not so sure that anything really jumps out. Like, obviously, I understand where you're coming from as a big time data analyst who spends a lot of time coming through the numbers and has seen millions of spots. But for the viewers at home who are just kind of looking at this and seeing a multi-way pot where somebody bluffs, or what appears to be a bluff, maybe help us understand in lay terms why these are such obvious collusion spots.
I mean, it's just extremely rare to see like even one hand like that where it goes. So it might be a little bit less obvious to people who play live, because live you get a lot more multi-way pots where people kind of splash around, but especially online and when you're dealing with regulars, it's just so rare. You could look at a database of millions of hands and maybe find one of these spots where you get a freeway spot on the river where a guy bets and you call, and then another guy behind you jams. And especially when you have players calling on prior streets with nothing. So it's just, it really is so rare for these types of spots. And that's why we posted these river spots, because they're so uncommon, where you have three players just raising and re-raising. And then when you have 20 plus examples like I posted in that thread, then you can be pretty sure that something fishy is going on.
Yeah, I think that that's maybe the translation that everybody can understand. When we were going through the POSL data many, many years ago, which is kind of resurfacing now, it wasn't just the win rate and things of that nature that jumped out to us. It was, for the Shark people, it was his river efficiency. He was almost perfect in making river decisions, and that's just something you can't really do without having some sort of methodology of cheating, whether it's colluding with another person or whether it's having actually real-time information and seeing what's going on when you're playing on a live stream. You know, rivers aren't that cut and dry. So I guess for like the audience at home, one of the most clear examples, I think, is the first hand that you posted, the 6-deuce suited, 5-7 suited and pocket queens, where, you know, it's a three-way, three-bet pot where somehow 6-deuce of clubs is in there from middle position, 5-7 of diamonds is in from the cutoff, and like these hands don't, you know, to double down on Patrick's point, these hands don't ever VPIP anyway from these positions in an online arena outside of maybe like penny stakes. So to somehow see this happen in a three-way pot where ultimately 6-deuce of clubs ends up bluffing on a king jack jack XX board texture, getting queens to fold, is just kind of a clear indicator, I think, that there's some level of collusion taking place here, some attempt to squeeze the best hand out of the pot. And I think this hand is also very illuminating because it's part of the hands up replay where Ignition provides you hand histories with all hole cards, right?
Yep.
Were you able to find any more of those where you had like full disclosure? I know just like briefly scanning through, it's not always obvious which ones have all the hole cards.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence. Like, for every one of these hands that I posted on Twitter, there are obviously many more happening that we don't know about. But even, you know, collusion spots that we know about, I would say there's 10 times as many minor collusion spots. These were like the most blatant ones where you have all ins on the river. And that's why I decided to post them, because I thought it would be the easiest for the community to see. But there's just so many examples. If you look back through your sessions with hole cards exposed, where you're in the big blind and, you know, the button raises and the small blind calls with a hand that is too weak to play. And, you know, any reg knows that. And then you end up getting forced out of a small pot, you know, multi-way on, and it doesn't go all in, but you're still getting teamed up against and losing a little bit of the time that way.
Maybe it would be simple to just explain it as like, it doesn't need to be as dramatic. It could be a three-way pot. Someone see bets. There's another player left to act and you just fold. Not some huge thing, but if they're each cheating and you're sandwiched in between, you're folding thinking, oh, I'm in a three-way pot. I need to defend stronger. But that could add big blinds to your win rate. That's a lot of money over time.
Yeah, I think for the live player especially, that's the easiest way to understand it. There's always a fear of two people working together and you just getting squeezed out of pots through like some egregious action. I guess this question is for both of you guys, but what do we hope to come of this? Like, what are the next steps? Are you in contact with Ignition? Do they have any reps that are willing to reach out, similar to what ACR and GG have done in the past?
Well, my hope is that they'll contact us. If they contacted Pat previously, then they have the capacity to do so. They must be monitoring social media. So my hope that what will come from this is that Ignition will contact us, and maybe we can get a representative in the anti-RTA chat and get something going here, because they haven't acknowledged anything yet. And I think with all the criticism that, you know, we've levied at ACR, they at least have acknowledged it, and they've tried to do something about it. Whereas with Ignition, we've heard crickets so far, and that needs to change.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I know that I'd love to have you guys on here in a more positive light at some point. Like, I don't want you guys to just be the data experts who are pointing out cheating. To that end, you know, to kind of shift this a little bit, do you guys still feel like online is a viable way to make an income? You know, is this occurring both at Cash and MTTs? Are there better alternatives? What do you guys foresee is the short-term future of online?
Matt, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more difficult for small stakes where the rake is a lot higher. So it puts more of a squeeze on you. And I think at high stakes, it can be a little bit easier where the community is smaller. You'd kind of have a sense of who's cheating and who isn't, just because everyone's accounted for. I think one of my motivations for getting involved with this, with Ignition, is that I came up in 2018, basically, in Poker Detox, and I played 25NL on Ignition and submitted a sample. They gave me a stake to play 100NL, and within 9 months, I was playing 10-20. And I just have a hard time feeling confident that that could happen as easily now, because if I tried to do that today, I'd be playing up against, you know, two bots at every table at every limit, and it would be a lot more difficult. And I really want to believe that, you know, we can have this poker dream to maintain. It's really important to me. I mean, I think everyone kind of empathizes and with that guy that is working the job and wants to play poker for a living, and for that to be a viable avenue. And if you don't have access to GG Poker, like we don't in the United States, your options are limited. And Ignition Poker is a really important resource for anyone in the United States that wants to make a living in this game, especially if you don't live in a state that has regulated poker.
Is the solution then to like hire out within the community for some sort of consultant? I mean, I know we saw Nanonoku kind of play this role at one point with ACR, debatable how effective he was there, but you know, clearly, and I could say this as an outsider kind of looking in as a part of that high stakes Discord chat, it's very clear that you guys are well organized and have a really strong understanding both how a up and up landscape looks as well as how to kind of suss out the things that may not necessarily stick out like a sore thumb to the naked eye. Is that something that like either of you would be interested in kind of throwing your hat in the arena for, or at least pushing more towards putting pressure on sites to hire from within?
I mean, they can get this information for free, and you know, like it's not, they don't necessarily need to hire people in the community, because if anything, the community is starving for these reps to just come in and speak with us. Cause like we have a pretty good idea of the cheating that's happening, and we can make statistical cases to prove it. I think the issue is just that there's a huge disconnect. Like the players, especially in that anti RTA community, are just a lot more knowledgeable, I think, than the average analyst at a security team, especially for like an unregulated smallish site. So I think personally, I think they should just defer to us and listen to us, but I can see how, you know, if they're not following these situations closely enough, they just might not know who to listen to.
Yeah. I get the sense that once you fall off from the major sites of like GG, ACR, Stars, they don't have much of a finger on the pulse of the community. I think we kind of saw this with Global Poker whenever so much information was presented to them about the Project Baby RTA account, and they just refused to take action. From what I understand, they've kind of corrected course and they've hired GTO Wizard as a consult. I don't know if that's moving things in the right direction or not. I'm not personally very privy to what the solution is to this. You know, I just haven't seen all of the data the way that you guys have. I can't analyze it to the degree that you guys can. So I just wonder like why there isn't a greater level of importance placed upon like the fact that you guys are offering this for free, I guess, is the thing that is insane to me, right? Like these security teams should be seven-figure assets to these companies at a minimum. And to have somebody go out there and do all the hard work for them for free, it seems like you want to be really tapped in there and just like basically rolling out the red carpet for you guys to continue to send all the information their way. But best I can tell, you're kind of getting the cold shoulder. And I hope that this will help leverage a little bit of the community against Ignition to get them to at least speak out, maybe prevent people from playing in cheated pools, or at least have them scrutinize their database a little bit more closely to make sure. I guess my final question then regarding Ignition is, do you think the fact that it's the last remaining anonymous site is furthering the ease for this level of collusion and botting, or do you think it just doesn't really matter?
I think it's making it easier for them, yeah, because there were bots on ACR, but they weren't, there was nothing like to this level of just blatant collusion happening. So I do think that they are using the anonymous aspect of the site to their advantage, because you just, it's just so much harder to gather data when you don't have player IDs and you can't tie the same behavior to the same accounts over and over again.
Yeah, I imagine it's a lot tougher to counter in game as well.
Mm-hmm. It is for sure.
It's just, it's not something that should exist in 2024, I don't think. With just the state of online poker, we need more transparency and more data to be able to police it, especially when we have a poker site that just doesn't seem that interested in security to begin with. It's just begging for a problem. And I know it was implemented with the best of intentions to protect recreational players, which I'm fine with, but it's not 2013 anymore. I think we have to take a different approach to the state of the game.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Anything else you guys want to leave us on before we get out of here?
Well, I hope that we, like, at minimum, raise some awareness around the issue and can, you know, help some people avoid getting cheated on these sites. And, you know, best case scenario, Ignition actually listens to the community and gives this problem the attention that it deserves. I think that's possible. I don't see why it wouldn't be possible. I think they have a long history of, you know, operating one of the best sites to play in the US for cash games. And I don't see why they wouldn't want to continue doing that. So I think, you know, one thing they have shown that these sites do care about PR, and they've shown that they do care when the community speaks out. So hopefully they will respond to this.
Yeah, and I was going to say that just also keep in mind that even though there are a lot of bot accounts, we strongly outnumber them, because there could be one guy running 1,000 bots, but there's way, way more people that want to play poker legitimately and love this game. So if we speak up, we completely outnumber them. We can kind of take Ignition Poker back, I think would be major for becoming an online poker pro more viable, starting from the bottom in the United States.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, like that it's not necessarily that everyone is cheating online. In fact, I would say it's probably the opposite. Of course, you know, if there's an opportunity to cheat, people will do it. But I think this is more a case of like a few bad actors who have been able to, you know, multiply as a result of poor security. And if we can crack down on them, it's possible things could go back to normal pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it's the ability to scale that is obviously the biggest problem. Whenever there are flaws in your security to the degree where somebody can kind of just come in with an operation and scale it pretty rapidly, then it does become an issue where if the everyday player who's trying to be on the up and up doesn't stop frequenting those pools, they're all just going to lose their money to a single source. All right. I think that is probably a good place to stick a pin in this conversation. I appreciate both of you guys coming on as always. Let's, you know, continue to remain in touch. I'd love to do a follow-up on this to find out if you guys hear anything from Ignition, if the games get cleaned up at all. I think you've both been pretty excellent about pointing out the flaws as well as pointing out whenever these sites do take some sort of corrective action. Matt, I'd like to follow up also with the ACR thing sometime soon. You know, I'm always kind of lurking in that chat, so whenever you guys are ready to come forward and make another statement, I'd love to have you, Patrick, Pads, whoever else on to discuss it. In the meantime, you know, everybody out there, just be a little cautious, you know, listen up to whenever smart people like Matt and Patrick have something to say with regards to these sites. Thanks, boys. We'll see you guys soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right. Doesn't look good, kid.
If there's a few, only a few running, I know one of them because he used to talk about it all the time when we were playing 2-5. Like, he would be just, like, I would, like, overhear him talking about, like, the bots he's running on Ignition. I know his name.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. I mean,
name and shame. Name and shame. Name and shame.
He ran deep in one of the win tournaments. Yeah, I used to play 2-5 with him all the time.
I mean, maybe it's worth just discussing with them behind the scenes before you just like publicly out somebody.
No, I'm not going to say his name.
We'll do it. I'm not scared.
I'll send them his name.
Good. Yeah. I think that's good because I think Patrick's point is, and also Matt's, is very important in the sense that if it's one of those things where you just have a small collection of people who are running hordes of bots,
yeah,
what ends up happening is like, let's say, you know, let's be very liberal and say a quarter of the player pool is bots, but it's only run by a dozen people. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's like it takes banding together the other 75% of the pool and saying like, let's all sit out for a day and see who's left.
Yeah,
right,
actually. Yeah,
because like this is the only way to identify very clearly. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's especially worse whenever only a small amount of people
that
are
would
getting
be
all the
so
money.
Fucking funny where it's just only the bot people left and
you just see them all v-pipping zero.
They're all v-pipping 100 because they're trying to play multi-way versus each other,
right.
So now they're all in, every like all in yeah, all in.
There's a six-way squeezed bot,
right?
Yeah, it would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because like I don't think people understand how valuable of a service what these guys are doing is. And you know, largely it's on Matt and Patrick and Pads to kind of be the representative. Like, you know, Matt is the American reg who climbed from small stakes to nosebleeds. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of that face.
I used to read his forum posts on Run It Once.
Yeah, and you know, the trajectory is like very well documented and very clear. Like, he's a voice worth listening to. Mm-hmm. Pads is that same version, only the MTT pathway, right? Not, obviously not American, but same kind of thing. Like you can go all the way back to like 2012 and you'll find Pad's post on 2+2 when he was kind of just getting started. Now he's kind of the face of what high stakes MTTs looks like online. And then Patrick is, I guess I didn't do a proper job of introducing him, but for those who don't know, Patrick is the younger brother of Nick Howard, both of which have been heavily involved in mass data analysis. But Patrick really went the route of being like the specialist when it comes to data analysis, right? He has a team of engineers. They comb through all this stuff and they're able to pull out information that the casual just is never going to be privy to. The service that these guys provide, simply being the face of a much larger operation of high stakes regs that are cleaning up their environment and ensuring that they are not being cheated for large sums, which is important when you're playing nosebleeds, obviously. But it's also really the only realm that you're able to do this because it's only a few hundred people. So when a new account shows up, everybody wants to know who it is. They get to the bottom of it relatively quickly. What's the probability of it being cheated? Are there any sus hands? They share all this stuff with each other. The information passing is so rapid.
Smaller community.
Yeah. You can actually, you know, police that little bubble of an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you can't once you start to go to scale. So when we're talking about these you know, large field MTTs, you're talking about the mid stakes online cash environments. You're talking tens of thousands of potential accounts.
Yeah.
And all you can do is find the outliers and try to do something about it. And these guys are spending their hard earned time doing that for no compensation, right? Mm-hmm. The only compensation is that they still get to compete in an environment that they grew up on and they wholeheartedly believe is important to the poker system as a whole.
Ignition used to be.
How much of it were the bots just being bad? Right? Because wasn't a big part of Ignition being great the fact that like it was splashy and multi-way and people punted?
Not necessarily the multi-way part. I mean, people were just...
Games are just sick,
really,
man.
Bad.
Yeah.
It was great.
Because like if I saw that hand history, I would just think like, oh, these guys are whales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was a certain point when it started to feel not so great. And yeah. I was like, am I getting worse? I must be. Well, I guess yeah. I'm trying to find something else to do.
That's fair. So I think the problem is that I don't want to be the voice of anti-online. And these guys definitely don't want to be the voice of anti-online. The whole reason they're doing this is to keep online safe and flourishing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So I do think it's important to kind of
I thought that was a very a nice message of hope, like we can take Ignition back,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Especially if it's only a few people. I mean
what's troubling though is that because of the anonymous aspect of it, I'm not sure how you organize the troops to suss out the cheaters.
That's
the part that it's a bit of a disconnect for me. I'm not really sure, and maybe they're basically just like pleading with Ignition at this point, saying like, look, we need you guys to cooperate.
Right.
Otherwise, we're never going to get to the bottom of this.
Right. It makes me wonder, like, the fact that they're so silent on it. Like, are they just profiting enough from the rake of these bots that they are not incentivized to fix it? Like, I don't know.
If you ignore it, it goes away.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you know, that's kind of not totally false.
Yeah.
Without amplifying this message for these guys, without getting this out to a more widespread audience, people will just continue to deposit.
Yeah, and then eventually if it's all bots, I mean, they're still collecting the rake.
Right.
So technically, like a bunch of break-even bots would be good for them because it's...
And good for the bots.
Yeah, it's
they make
it's
a big blind. Yeah, they make a big blind per 100 in rake back or a blind and a half in rake back, something like that. The mm-hmm. site makes... A blind and a half in
rake.
They're
going to play 2-5 and talking about their bots while their bots are running.
That's wild. That's so wild.
Yeah, he was like really blatant about it. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't know people were so casual about this. Like,
yeah.
He was just like, yeah, I run bots on Ignition. I was like, clutch pearls.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Oh my word. How dare you?
I'm like, oh, eavesdropping and like on the other side of the table. Like, what?
So I mean, hopefully we see some sort of response. I would also say personally, like, I think the ACR response has been largely underwhelming. You know, I know that behind the scenes they're trying to move the needle, and I know Matt kind of outlined that a bit, but you know, this first wave of refunds seems to be kind of a non-event. Nobody really claimed that they got a lot of money back. And usually you're going to hear that kind of stuff. If a high stakes guy, you know, gets a $25,000 refund, he's going to say, hey, good job out there. Thank you. I appreciate it. Right. But we didn't hear any of that from anyone. So my hesitation in giving them too many kudos is that they're just, you know, refunding like fractions of a penny on the dollar.
Maybe it's a slow process. I mean, at least they are like responding though. The fact that Ignition is just like crickets is kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the Ignition thing's been pushed as far as we pushed the ACR bot issue. Yeah. Right? Because
but even like still like ACR has had a presence like on Twitter and stuff. Like yeah. They're reachable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know who like Landon was the only ever Ignition rep I've ever known.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he really got hung out to dry there.
Yeah, yeah. They made him promote slots, and then they just didn't pay him.
Yeah, yeah, they just they bro shilling and
yeah,
and then said fuck you, you get stiffed, that's and some, we're closing your account.
That's some fucked up shit, man. How you gonna let him do you like that?
You shouldn't.
I've been saying like for months, I was like, fucking leverage your platform, like that's fucked up.
I would get the rest of your money off your account.
Pay the
first.
Man his money.
But like you gotta. Unlock that bad boy.
Yeah, I should do that.
Yeah, you should.
I didn't know that was within your power. I thought that they were withholding that too.
No. It was just the account from a security check standpoint was locked because it was in Vegas. It was a Vegas account. But it's like, hey, like I made this account. This is literally an account you guys made.
Yeah. Right. For you. Yeah.
Right. For me.
I'm an ambassador, remember?
Landon, if you don't want to do anything, I'll be your bounty hunter for 10%.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Hey, cut me in. I'll be in there.
Let's go.
Everybody wants in. Everybody wants a piece of the pie.
I want a piece of the pie.
Guapa's ready to put Ignition in the muck, baby.
That's just right.
Fucking bury him. Speaking of in the muck,
like sashimi wanted people to get the
bounty hunter for
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You that's 50% Guapo. You better get on that shit.
And then follows up. By the way, don't do anything illegal.
Well, that's you gotta cover your ass.
Yeah,
I was there that day. It was a very strange scene. She was very upset, but it was. It's a weird thing because we've talked about this, but you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Obviously, you should never leave a purse on a chair.
Yeah.
That's just asking for it. It's too easy. But also, it's like kind of scary to take it with you to the bathroom. You know, it's like you get brick up at the head. That's it. But
yeah.
The difference is that they need to brick you upside the head to steal it in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's a little more of a barrier than, you know, just
I guess this guy just literally walked past her chair and just like snagged it. And, you know, when you're sashimi, you don't exactly keep a low profile. So you got to be a little bit more cautious, you know. People might think that, hey, maybe there's some chips in there.
Fanny packs are great.
Fanny packs are great. They're coming back. I mean, not for dudes.
No, they've been back for dudes.
No, only if you're the Rock.
All the guys wear, you know, at WSOP around their chest.
That's different. That's not a fanny pack. It's a cross body bag.
It's the fanny pack.
It's not a fanny pack. It's a cross body bag.
That's the same thing.
Okay, well, cross body bag, fanny pack, wear it differently, wear it the same. Yeah. How many of those guys would you make out with?
I don't know, maybe 5%.
Okay.
But that's like just the in general. Like I actually 5% is pretty high. Like I think there's maybe like
oh, so we're into the fanny packs.
1% of people at WSOP that you're saying
the fanny packs are actually an edge.
No, she's saying
they separate you from the field.
They're an edge if you want to keep your money. Yeah.
Out of all the people she would make out with, 5% are wearing the fanny
packs. Yeah, but I rescind. That's a bit high. Like 5% is a lot.
It's 5% of like 2%.
Yeah. There's like 3 people maybe 5% per
of
summer
them.
That I'm
right.
Like,
eh. We're saying 5% of them.
Yeah.
Of all the people that are eligible.
5% of them are wearing fanny packs.
Right.
Yeah.
They're all Euros. And Conrad. And Conrad.
I don't know. Honestly.
I don't have a fanny pack.
I'm married.
Oh, my apologies.
Oh, okay.
I'm taken now.
This just in, I'm naming my new puppy Sven.
Oh my god.
I'm not naming it Sven.
Oh, Sven would have been great.
I like Harper. I like
gender Finn. Neutral.
Sven's better than Pip.
Finn
Pip.
Is best.
I mean, we'll grow on
I do
Pip.
Like Finn.
Landon and I are going to call the dog Harper, and that's going to be
the dog is going to have multiple names.
The dog's going to learn
it's not going to know what its
I
name is.
I have to tell you, there are no two people less qualified to name an animal in this room than you and Landon.
What do you mean? We come up with the best stuff.
We're good with names. No. Yeah, we're cool
Zoomers.
And cooking.
We're cool, cooking, and creative.
Yeah, yeah. Triple C.
C's.
Yeah, CCC.
CCC. Well,
consistent.
Mm. Let's get to the muck whopper.
All right, we're back in the muck. Burke.
Yep.
This is your specialty.
Okay.
Deep stack cash, baby.
Let's go,
baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at all that money.
Look at all that money. We're
560 big blinds effective here in the 2-5 game. Our submission is from Spoder 2-2. And so they are pretty deep. We got to open in the under the gun 2, I believe, nine-handed game to 20. We're playing 2-5. We have the king of hearts, the king of clubs. We go ahead and 3-bet from the hijack and folds back around to the original opener. We 3-bet to 70. And we're met with a 4-bet to 215.
Okay.
This is getting scary.
Right. We decided to just call.
Scary.
Right? We decided to just call.
So deep, man.
Right? We're deep. But we got kings. Guapo's petrified right now.
Guapo is shitting himself.
And so we get a flop of 9 of diamonds, 6 of hearts, deuce of hearts. And now the 4-better checks.
Interesting.
Interesting it is. So we decide to bet 200 into about 430, 440.
Okay.
We're met with a call.
Yep.
And the turn is going to be the 4 of spades.
Fun.
Right? Checked again.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to go ahead and bet again.
75%?
Nope. We went smaller. We went like about 40%. RFC. Yeah, with 350.
Blunder!
350 into 840. And we're met with another call.
Sure.
The board pairs 6 of diamonds on the river.
Wonderful.
Right.
Now, how do we get it all?
Well, check. And yeah, exactly. How do we get it all? We
bet. Blunder!
And now we bet like quarter pot, which is like 450.
You do a little IP block.
Into 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And we're met with a click to 1,000.
Okay.
This is where the hand history ends. So we don't really know exactly what happened.
What?
I'm assuming that. Well, I don't think it's important. I mean, like.
Oh, it is, because I would consider a jam.
Right. Right. Well, I'm saying it's not important what actually happened. What's important is how you should have played the hand throughout,
okay,
and what you should be doing,
right, okay,
in this spot.
So
let me just give you Spoder's thoughts here. He said. So he said the villain is a fishier player.
Sure.
And said definitely went for some custom sizing since he's fishy. Probably not theory approved. And then he said, is there a 500 big blind solver? And I said, well, yeah. Yes, it's just
Wizard
SBR.
AI.
Yeah. Wizard AI can do it. He said, but bombing every street is just an overplay in my opinion.
Okay. Whoa. Well, okay. Let's talk about why you're in the muck.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, using words like overplay.
And you have kings.
Mm-hmm. There's no such thing. Okay, so let's first talk about the word overplay.
Let's break it down.
Let's break it down a bit. What would be the opposite of overplay?
Underplay.
Okay, so trapping, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
you're so happy about that, Melissa. underplay.
Me, I know.
Gold star.
Underplay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
see how good she is with names,
right?
Yeah.
So underplaying/trapping is barely qualified as something we would do in the game. Like you check for the purpose of value. You bet for the purpose of value. You bet for the purpose of bluff, mm-hmm, equity denial, all these
so
things, right?
So what I think he means by overplay...
I know what he means.
Okay, well,
go on.
For the audience or for whatever, for me.
he speaks for himself.
I want to know if this is what I'm thinking. Okay. What you think he thinks is that he means like essentially playing a 1,100 big blind pot with one pair.
Okay, so I think extrapolating...
But that happens all the time.
Right, but I mean like...
Does it?
Well, it should.
It could.
When you're that deep, yeah, it could.
I think if you expand upon that thought, it's the portion of that phrase you're leaving off is with just kings.
Right.
So I think what he's implying is that...
Like if he had aces, it's fine.
Or just more so if he gets it all in. Yes, because once you get 4-bet, you assume that the top of the other range is aces. But more so, once you play this 1,100 big blind pot or whatever it may be, there isn't worse that can call off. But that's not the way a 3-street game works, right? We arrive at the flop with an SPR of 5. So being all in by the river is not very difficult. We never even have to bet pot. If we wanted to go 3 on the flop, I think it's going to be something like 55% pot. So we can go like half and be all in by the end, or 60-60-60 and be all in by the end, right? So it doesn't require these massive sizings, right? So he goes just under half on flop, and then 2E on the turn is B80.
Do we want to go bigger on flop?
Yes, of course. But that's neither here nor there. I think so. The flop size, I think, is the least of the mistakes.
Yeah.
But more importantly, like furthering this thought process of overplaying or underplaying, whatever, overplaying, it goes all the way back to preflop, right? It's this contradiction of saying this guy is a fishy player, AKA he has too many hands in every aggressive node or every node period, whether it's aggressive or calling. And then B, I can't five bet because he only has aces, right? Because that doesn't make sense. If he's a fishy player who has way too many hands, you always will five bet kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But maybe also he might be thinking he's super wide and I don't want to five bet and lose him.
How could you lose him? If it goes 215 and you five bet to 480,
right?
There isn't any hand that suddenly is just like, well, this was good enough to four bet, but I can't continue.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he should have folds.
At least
but
in
like,
the custom range, right? You think if the four bet range is probably going to be
probably
tighter,
too linear.
Yeah, it's probably too good anyways. And this is kind of why you want to have a polar four bet range.
Right.
Because if you get flicked or whatever, you have some folds.
That's the big thing, right? It's like if he folds off of what he four bet, then it's either going to be a hand like Ace X, which is good that you're denying the equity to, or it's going to be a hand like, I don't know, something random, 6-4 suited.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Just like something nonsensical that you probably weren't going to stack anyway. Right? Like, sure, maybe he could go off, but the fact that he started by checking 9-6-3 makes me think that he probably isn't a blaster, because this is definitely a board that you don't suddenly shift into check call mode on.
Yeah.
Right? This
but
is
like
a
Ace King would, right?
Depends on the range.
I mean, yeah, when we get to river, then it's never.
It just
I
like,
mean, on flop.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you still have ace queen suited in position that you can get value from. It's a tricky board. Like, yeah, you're going to play some checks for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not implying that, like, this is a range board by any stretch.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if it's
you're going to see, like, a crazy guy go off. On
yeah. If it's a traditional four bet pot, like, you're not going to see bet 25% here. You're going to have a big bet and a check.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, those big bets are going to come through.
Uh-huh.
Usually, whenever you see, like, check call, it's like, oh, he has way too much middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, playing middle as middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
Which is like jacks, tens, queens.
Pairs, 9-8, 7-8, who knows? Like, you know, just way too many hands, so to speak. Even hands like maybe ace-5, ace-4 that he decided to, like, check call to turn draw. It's tough to get in the mind of a maniac, you know? I'm not one to sit here and try to pretend like I can think the way...
You are a maniac.
Well, I'm a calculated... I'm the worst kind of maniac.
Just pretend it's you playing one, too.
Right? Like, I'm a serial killer. These guys.
All right, let's not go that far.
Jesus.
Well, you know,
I mean, I'm a legend.
serial killers are very calculated and precise. You know, they have their next target already lined up. They already have the clues that they're going
to
lead the police.
Assassin.
That's right. You know,
welcome to true crime.
Right. I am
so
out here.
You're a sociopath.
Correct. Right. That's correct.
Gotcha.
Now these guys, they're too random, right? They're just psychotic.
They're the guys that get caught.
Right.
Right. They're
unaware of how crazy they are.
Yeah, they're the random guys who start DMing you and then 10,000 messages later send you a butthole. It's just like it wasn't supposed to go this way.
It wasn't, but it just happened.
Yeah, it just happens, you know. Here you are in the 9,000 message.
All of a sudden,
like,
we're in a courtroom.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Butthole finally made it to the end of Muck segment.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, you know, you can't predict the way that this is going to play out because they don't know. It just starts with one message and then
snowball.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
You know, you shoot your shot. So I
that's one way to put it.
I'm not trying to get in the mind of somebody that would qualify as being uncalculated is the point that I'm trying to arrive at.
He did say fishier. He didn't say like absolute crazy.
Find me somebody that you've labeled as fishier that has a thought in their brain. Name one. I'll wait.
Go ahead.
Right. There's nobody you call a fish that you're like, but he studies. You know?
Right.
It's like, hey, he's looked at ranges.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No, he's a fish because he's just clicking buttons and like he's a victim to his emotions.
But there's degrees of fish.
Yeah,
fishing,
sure. There's
right?
people who call it all off. There's people who punt it all off.
Yeah.
There's people who, you know, fold way too much.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's some people that are just, you know, absolute crazy people who just like go nuts all the time. And there's people who just kind of slowly lose it. Cause
totally agree. Yeah. Regardless, once you get the fish label attached, you want a five bet kings. First and foremost,
that's
period.
Yeah.
Lower the SPR. Try to play it all in pot. I don't care how deep you are.
Right.
10,000 big blinds, 1,000 big blinds. It doesn't matter. If you can continue to slowly put money in the middle, that's a good event.
Yeah.
you know? And it's a very important event because even if you're 10,000 big blinds deep and you play an 8-bet pot, well, kings should probably be a small portion of that as long as the money's going in slowly. It's mm-hmm. different if by the time you get to the 8th bet, you're like 6x raising the last bet size, right? Because now you are funneling to where they don't have anything but the top.
Yeah.
So in this instance, okay, we play trap. That's fine too. We'll have aces and kings trapping some of the time. We get a dream board of 9-6-3. Why is this a dream board?
6-deuce, but yeah.
Okay, 6-deuce, sorry.
Doesn't really
it's even matter.
Matter.
Right. But why is this a dream board, 9-6-deuce, two-tone?
Because they shouldn't have many...
Because you can stack sets. Queens and jacks.
Stack, all
and,
over pairs.
We dominate a large chunk of the hands that he would do this with value. Yeah. But more specifically, he also flops a lot of like medium equity, right? Outside of that. Because he might have hands like 10-9 suited some of the time. He might have hands like 8-7 suited some of the time. Maybe he has hands like 8s or 7s.
Maybe 5-4.
Perhaps 5-4 of hearts. We also have a heart. This is a really great event for kings. There's almost no turn cards that we're like particularly concerned with, especially if we start to get money in the middle quickly, mm-hmm. right? If we shrink that SPR to where all in is threatened by turn or river, depending on what our methodology is here, now we just don't care about the runout. And ace is like the only bad card.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his floats are going to be ace X with a backdoor.
Right.
Right. And ace king with the ace of hearts, ace king of diamonds.
Yeah. And like the ace of hearts comes, it's still okay.
Exactly. Right? Precisely. It's like, what ace does he have now? Yeah. You have to find like random diamonds that choose a passive line. Mm-hmm. Right. Just isn't going to be there very often. So obviously, I think that the custom sizing, I think it's cope to say that I was doing this because he's fishy. And instead, I think it was more so, I don't want to play an all-in pot here.
Emotionally hedging.
Yeah. I'm afraid to get check jammed on here. I'm afraid that if we play an all-in pot, it's only aces. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that I'm being trapped, right? Rather than just seeing what it is. And here is where, this is where solver work really, really cleans up the thought process for people who don't study. Once you start to see what happens when people check, as opposed to like when they pass on the aggressive option, when you see how much that range morphs into a range you don't need to be afraid of,
yeah,
then you just get to take the top and say, I don't give a shit. If you trap me, you trap me. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah, if it happens, like that hand's not going to happen very often that way anyway. So
like you can't trap me that often because I don't have the top of my range that often. So you're just foregoing all the value of your good hands mm-hmm. by playing check. Mm-hmm. And you're not incentivized to do that. So now when you do check, what I recognize is I have a really big target to shoot at when I'm at the top.
Yeah.
Right? So I pull out and I just go for it. And to me, that's the biggest principle to take away here. He tried to play a 3-street game that resulted in non-all-in with a hand that is worth 3 streets to be all-in. And then he got met with resistance and it just led to utter confusion, which it kind of should. Because now when a guy lays you like, I don't know, 6-1 on the end or 7-1 on the end or whatever the case may be.
A lot to one.
Yeah, it's probably hard to find worse value and or bluffs.
Yeah.
But like, you know, fucking pay.
We can't fold.
Yeah, you've done this to yourself, man. You got to just pay. You bet third pot on the end. That's a no-no.
Yeah, he's probably just like backing the sizing with some weird click.
Yeah, well, he could literally just have queens thinking like, well, he would have 5-bet me with aces or kings, so my hand is good here and I'm just going to get value from jacks or tens.
And honestly, not that bad reasonable. Of an idea.
Yeah. Right, yeah. right.
Pretty
exactly.
reasonable.
Right, so if you ever fold here, you're just torching.
Torching, because you have no calls.
Right.
That's the big thing. You have no calls. No six that you could ever possess in a 3-bet call range would go small, small, small.
Right.
Right, it's just non-existent. So let's see what the young sim lord over here has to say. What can the wizard teach us here, Landon? Let's not play custom fish ranges. Let's just see what it does in theory and roll with it.
Go big or never fold.
Yeah, well, because here's the issue with call it the custom sim ranges is like custom sim ranges has like low frequency 6-5, 7-6, 8-7.
The Fantastic
small pairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're in there a little bit.
Well, the Invisible Woman didn't make it.
Mr. Fantastic didn't make it, actually.
That's really
Mr. Fantastic is out.
Wow, Mr. Fantastic is out.
I like Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, Mr. F is pretty cool.
Not fantastic enough.
Yeah, not fantastic enough. Anyways.
But like, these aren't custom, right? This is what
this is legit. This is what a theory range would look like. The custom is the one I made
over
here.
Okay, fine, fine.
So there's like some suited paint. There's some Asex wheels. There's some Asex
coverage hands, if you will.
Well, yeah, you need to have these hands for boards like this. You have some equity that's not just over pairs.
Okay, let's roll.
And high cards.
Right.
So as we can see, flop is going to be a big better check. You do want to check sometimes to protect the range, like kings you're going to want to check. Aces sometimes, depending on the suits.
And
like,
correct me if I'm wrong, but big bet is 3E? 68%?
I can check.
It looks like it. It looks like turn is also 68%.
If you go bet and then you go to the E and go like that, you can find out right now.
Wizard tutorial.
We do a lot of wizard tutorials.
It is great. No, it's like really good. That's the best way to learn how to use this stuff is just watch someone who's good at it use it.
Yeah.
Painting.
I think you eliminated the check.
An artist.
No, okay. Gotcha.
An artist. You're watching a master at work.
All right. So 3-year check is the four betters alternative. And we can see that his checking range here, though it is protected by some of the better hands, they're at a much lower frequency. It's a lot of his misses, the king, queen, suited. And just for clarity's sake, these Broadway board or these Broadway hands that are checking, I assume that they do not have a front door draw. Is that correct?
When you look at the ace kings and stuff?
Well, the king queen, the king jack.
King queen, you're going to want something on the board.
Yeah.
If you have nothing on the board.
So the clubs, the clubs and the spades, they're doing a lot of checking. King queen, king jack, king 10. I assume you'll see the same out of the ace axes.
Why are queens checking so much?
Well, because you run into kings and aces sometimes, I imagine. Yeah, so you're kind of scared?
You're setting up a 3-street strategy. Queens is going to be more of a 2-street hand.
Yeah.
A little bit scared, a little fear.
Jacks too, I assume. Jacks need a little bit more protection, but it's probably going to go bet check.
Yeah, jacks, you're betting with the jack of hearts mostly, just because you have a flush if you get called sometimes. You can make a flush draw. But the other one's kind of scared. Tens need protection and value, and you also have extra equity with 3 to a straight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, even though tens is a worse hand than jacks, you can turn some more things and potentially win with a four-liner where you can't with jacks.
All right, what's the imposition response then when it faces check? I imagine we're going to bet a pretty high frequency here.
Half and half, and you mostly go small. Because you're targeting like the king, queen of clubs. You're targeting the king 10. You're targeting things like that.
Okay.
And like the ace x whiffs for out of position that can't just eat it off.
Right.
Exactly. So like they have really good hands that checked, like the protected traps, and then they have like absolute nothing. So
probably
going to
go smaller on flop, and then I imagine look for more of a polarizing strategy on the turn.
Yeah, because now you've... Well, on the flop, if we think about it logically and we go small and we fold out all their garbage, when they call, they probably have something decent.
Yeah, so you just
so small bet doesn't really help anymore.
Right.
So just give it the small size and then call. Yeah, so they get to raise a lot, and like sometimes you want to raise when you have kings of the heart, you can make a flush. Then you have like aces sometimes, and then you have your bluffs being like ace eights that you check because you have 3 to a straight, 3 to a flush.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you're only using your backdoor draws with the ace wheels because once again, you have 3 to a straight, 3 to a flush. Sometimes you have 4 to a flush.
Well, it looks like it's raising the flush draws also.
Yeah. Like ace four diamonds.
Front door, backdoor.
Like if you have a draw.
Yes.
With enough flush draw, you raise, get it in, and with the back door, if you get jammed on, you're just like, just kidding, I was lying.
I was just
pretending is nice.
Just kidding. And like king, queen of diamonds is a nice one because you can clean up some ace highs that can potentially c-bet stab and then fold, like ace king.
Yep.
So when you turn a king, you can win, and if you turn a queen, you get ace queen to fold, which is nice, and then you can win.
Makes sense.
So bet call, turn four of spades. Yeah, so like turn for hijack, we see here is going to be pot or check. No frequency jams, but mostly just big bet or check.
And I assume that that is 2E at this point.
Dun, 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 dun. I can check. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. I like the music. Yeah, I like the music in the background. Dun, dun. It might be a little bit, 2E might be bigger. Nope, it's pot. It's like the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's 98%.
The under the gun 2 is just... pure checking the turn once they go for the call line.
No leads. Yeah. Right. No leads. Because what? Why?
Right. Right. Yeah. That would be weird. To be like checking.
You're too convinced.
That would be weird. That would not be cool or cool.
That'd be very not cool.
He already broke flow once. He doesn't want to break flow again.
Flow.
And like this is important to understand. Like when you're playing a four bet pot, it doesn't. So SPR matters some, but until you start to get into like double digit SPRs, you're just going to gravitate towards a polarized strat on the turn, which means a lot more geosizing.
So the idea here where like turn weird hedge size is mostly like I have a good hand, but I don't want to get stacks in. The machine mildly agrees, but instead of playing the weird size, they two street game it. Yeah. So yeah. Like, okay, my hand's not worth three streets all the time, so I'm going to check and bluff catch if he bets the river. And if he checks, I'm like, I have the green light to go for a big bet again.
I imagine that's a little bit of fearing aces and then a bit of wanting to protect queens and jacks.
Yeah.
Right, you don't want to just be capped at queens or jacks whenever you check back turn.
Right, because then there's still a chance that under the gun when they call pre has ace or call flop has aces.
Right, and if you look at the rest of your range that does a lot of checking, one of the big reasons why aces doesn't need to check back is because you have so much ace high. So when the river comes in ace, you already have good hands that improve. You don't need to improve the top set.
And you stack kings all the time.
Correct.
Where now like you have jacks and you bet again, you're just like, you're getting some protection, which is worth something, but it's not worth enough.
Very little when, versus a condensed range like this.
When you get called, like you bet jacks and queens is mixing fold, you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You're probably fucking up somewhere.
Too thin, yeah.
Yeah, because now you're just condensing them to queens plus and ace, king of hearts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now it's like, well, that's not very good for us. So I guess in theory, we can just look at the check back line, and now the river is...
Well, no, I think we should just...
You want to look at pot?
Yeah, because he arrived at river with pot and a half anyway. It's not terrible.
No, it's not. Oh. Note they play no jams because their range can't really support it.
Right.
And they can just run into aces too much. That chops pretty. Six of diamonds, right?
Yep. I imagine we'll see a lot of checking here.
So, like, not really. Lead's not real. Lead is scam. So no, don't worry about that part.
It's just aces that trapped.
And now we only play check or jam on the end. And now
it actually does check down.
Kings, you can check back because you're like, you're making queens indifferent on the turn.
Right.
So now like they're mostly going to be folding the river and you want to polarize to having aces or not aces. Like, sure, sometimes you can have like a set of like sixes and nines, but like the idea being,
well, I think that's probably also what's driving the king's check back is that you don't have enough bluffs to support and you do have to shove nines and sixes at this point.
Which you should have some frequency of.
Right. So, like, if you eliminated all the other value hands outside of aces, then kings, I think, would get in.
And, like, also you're jamming. So, when you jam kings, you make kings indifferent because you're trying to say you have aces.
Again, though, that's a byproduct of the sets being in our range, too.
Yeah. It just depends on. Honestly, the check back is just going to be very dependent on how much do they have aces.
Right.
And the answer is probably not that much.
Right.
Because they probably would have c-bet the flop because the flush draw is there and they can get scared.
Yeah.
And they probably would have check-raised flop if they check to be sneaky because they can get value from the overpairs.
If they have aces with the ace of hearts, they check more.
So the machine is like, you know what? I have aces some of the time here. I don't need to worry about it because we're playing this game so many times. But then when you get aces playing live poker, it's like the greatest feeling of all time.
Yeah.
And you can't contain yourself to play let me check and then check again.
Yeah.
Again.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Totally.
So
agree.
In practice, I would imagine that we'd want to go for max value with kings and
you just
hope that they have
aces there.
Hope that they have queens and like they're allowed to fold queens sometimes. Like the machine just lets it be like the mix between blue and green. So like if they fold queens and you don't get paid by queens, that's not your problem.
But like if they never fold queens,
now you have a big issue.
Yeah. Right. So
you could have ace king.
Let's go back to turn and start customing.
Okay.
Just for the just
with the theory ranges, like I made some ranges that look like live poker ranges potentially, like very top linear, like top
sure,
left.
Sure, whatever you want to do.
We can use theory ranges. That's fine.
Okay, so like let's just eliminate what is supposed to happen size wise and
it,
go
like,
with
B40.
What? Yeah, just eliminate the jam too, because we don't care about alternative strategies. We're just playing it as it was played.
Yeah. Now kings is gonna bet because we have kings.
Still check some, but yeah,
depending on the suit. And then aces, you can check back sometimes, but like not really. You'd rather check back other hands. Like ace queen of diamonds is a bad hand to bet. You have some overcards where you can maybe win, and also you block the diamonds that you want for the under the gun player to have that continues on flop now folds because the backdoor draw didn't come in. So you want to check back those hands. Ace jack of hearts you can still bet because you have overs and a flush draw. That's a good hand, and then you can bluff with. These aren't really bluffs, I guess. Like 7-6 isn't really a bluff. It's kind of like a merge.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it probably folds to a jam. I mean, well, it definitely not
gonna, yes, it's going to fold to a jam, but you're getting a lot of value from making like ace highs indifferent, like ace kings.
I guess you don't really face raise again.
You don't face raise.
He's so tight that like you just don't face raise. So right. it's more of a
you kind of have merge. When they check, you have like not the more polar range because you're both polar, but the value is so condensed to.
Well, you do have the more polar range because you have more bluffs.
Yeah, we should have more bluffs, I imagine. Like, we have some of this low cards and the ace wheels where they just have a lot of the aces and kings and, like, stuff in the top left, like this.
Okay, so he responds to a call, now river four. Or six, rather. No leads, no shock.
And now we play check or jam again.
Okay, so now give him the custom non-jam size of 30%. And for what it's worth, we could see that 60% wasn't in there. So 30's for sure not going to be a thing, but let's see what happens when we force it.
Bet like 75 bigs. Then we got to force it. Now you just bet kings because like pure, you have kings.
Obviously.
You get called. Yeah, like you can check queens linear. Though because your value targets are everything that's above you.
Too thin, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not good.
That makes sense.
You don't want
to
be...
I think that's a really important principle to take away from this is that queens is a very clear two-street hand. Whether you check back flop, check back turn, or check back river... You're going to check a street with queens.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah.
Do something that's not put money in the middle.
So he actually plays no raise versus this size. Let's see what happens if you just force.
Right. So now we're...
Force a click.
We're in the weeds.
We're
far away from home.
We are far away. All right,
Spider-Man. We're not in Kansas anymore.
So he goes 450 and then this guy raises to 1,000. So he raises to 200 bigs.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to make this happen. Without forcing it. I mean, you might just have to paint some raises. But if you paint raises, then it doesn't really matter.
Let's just click the button. You know, let's click the button and find out. Let's click the button. Yeah, so the selected line is rarely used.
So yeah, you can see King's still mostly calling.
Yeah, King's is like, I mean, if you look at the funny EVs, it's just like -1456669 44 because you broke it. You broke it in myself.
Right.
But idea being you can actually just flat aces because like you have nines and sixes to jam with like full houses.
And 7-6, 6-5. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like I think that gives us the answer that we're looking for here. Like,
what are we doing?
You know, for what it's worth to begin with, the quote unquote the quote unquote theoretical range that we're giving the four better here is probably wider than what you even consider a fishy player's. Bet range to be right. It had suited broadways, it had suited aces, it had some of the fantastic four, it had pocket pairs well below tens, which you're almost never going to see in your environment. So if we had painted ranges, I don't even think we would have gotten as wide as what a theoretical range would do at this depth. So I don't think now we suddenly need to be custom sizing throughout. Because what are we hoping to manipulate, right? Like, that's the big thing. When you choose to hedge and pick smaller sizes than what theory would actually want to do, what part of your range is benefiting from that? Certainly not your bluffs,
right?
Like, your bluffs aren't doing better by betting cheaper.
Value isn't either.
How is your value improving? Because the exact same hands that are supposed to call for third pot are supposed to call for full pot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, we still narrow the range the exact same way. The only thing that I could think of, I guess, in some sort of capacity is maybe he makes an error and check raises queens on the end. And now we get to call profitably. Versus a hand that's too thin. Yeah, but you know, people lose sight of range construction. They don't think about how often in position has aces and kings here.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we're pretty confident that out of position doesn't really have aces very often, probably not even kings.
And if they do, they should have stacked us and they didn't. So that's
right. So that's their problem. Yeah. So I think, what was the user's name?
Spoder22.
Spoder22. You're in the muck, my friend. I think we need to reshift your mindset a little bit. When you face a four bet, you can't just automatically gravitate towards, oh, that's aces. Because now whenever you face passive action later, you forget about all the hands that you can stack. And that's a really important part of playing deep stack, like, no limit.
Oh shit, he has aces. Oh wait, he checked. He can still have aces though.
Now he's trapping.
Yeah, now he's trapping. Now he's raising. Now but he has aces. Bet. But I have to bet. Right. I mean, it's right in the sense of your hand's not worth a ton through the bet jam line, but it doesn't mean you choose weird sizes to try to fit what your hand wants to do.
Yeah, for what it's worth, for me personally, like the way that I get around my hand not being worth three is I just play 2E strat. So even though we're supposed to quarter pot in position, I just play big bet check because
on flop?
Yeah, because number one, I'm way wider.
I mean, right? That's a huge bet, but sure.
Two, he's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Never mind. It was like over five SPR, right?
Yeah. You'd probably go 3E. Yeah.
No, I would probably like range bet and then 2E.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would just, it's face equity, you know?
Yeah.
You just get the value bet kings on the end.
Sure. But what you would do is probably check the turn at sometimes.
Some of the time. With a lot of my range, maybe not with kings, but a lot of my range.
Well, you probably just buck it by like betting kings and aces if you don't five bet pre because you're that deep. And then you're going to check queens and jacks.
Are either, honestly, I'd probably check flop more than I should with those types of hands.
Well, you're not range betting flop and you're checking queens and jacks.
Well, I know. I misspoke. I just meant like I would choose the range bet size.
Yeah. Right. Through the smaller size. The small size is nice.
Yeah. You accomplish a fair amount.
Do a bit. But like you probably don't see that many checks.
Well, the thing is that I do see a lot of checks, but people try to check raise me more. So I'm cognizant of that and I have to kind of pivot my strategy a bit. So that's why I probably wouldn't range bet there. It's probably why I might B40 instead of B25. Yeah. So like just these little tweaks are a lot whenever you are a little bit more privy to your opponent's strategy. If you know they're capable of checking aces with the heart in order to check raise, then you're not exactly thrilled to start blasting off with Jack 10 of diamonds.
Yeah, it's kind of why playing against good players is tough because they kind of have all of the tricks in the bag where if you play people that always bet their value and they always check when they kind of missed and they always see bet when they have some form of equity, easier to play against.
That's the big thing about these spots, right? Is that it's a four bet pot, so ranges are relatively tight. What you need to understand is coming from both positions, you're pretty fixed in your strategy. Out of position gets to play a large bet size or a check in order to check raise some of the time, right? And it's not that hard to pull the hands that are incentivized to do that. Like, oh, aces with a heart, pretty easy check raise. You know, top set of nines, pretty easy check raise. I'll just build around those. And then with the C-bet strategy, it's like, oh, kings with a heart, very easy C-bet. You know what I mean? Queens with a heart, very easy C-bet. These overpairs without a heart, very easy check to check call, things of that nature. So you very logically can build out these ranges quickly. And now if your opponent's not doing the same or correcting for your simple strategy, then what happens is you capture a lot of EV in their errors.
Yeah.
So whenever the imposition guy who's too aggressive stabs all the fucking time, now all of a sudden your overpairs start to print because he has too many hands like 9-10 suited or 7-6 suited or whatever, and you have too much equity to bet fold them, right? And you also have like the ability to have board coverage and scary turns. And now all of a sudden, like you see imposition yeeting it off whenever quote unquote scary cards like a 5 fall, but they just have too many bluffs and not enough value. So like you happy call with overpairs. I think that that's really one of the most principal takeaways that you can have here. And again, like studying a solve really will help light up that portion of your brain that kind of intuits these strategies. Once you start to see a check off of a polarized action, it's just like, okay, I'm a lot safer now to just go for it with the top of my range. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be the mindset. It can't be that I didn't five bet kings because I'm afraid of running into aces. Oh, he checked. Now I get to start playing my kings a little bit more aggressively, but I still have to be wary of the fact that he might have aces. It's like, once you decide to start playing kings aggressively, we don't care if he has aces.
Yeah.
Because like, it's fractional.
It's going to be a percentage that's going to happen. Yeah. And it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it works out mathematically.
Right. Get fucking stacked in a 1200 big blind pot with kings one time.
Hey, the botter stacked me in a like many big, I don't know, 800 big blind.
Yeah, he's a fucking botter. Of course, he knew what you had.
No, I was. That I actually told around? You. I told you about that one. It was when he called me with third pair or something.
Wait, what were you doing? I vaguely remember this. I don't.
I don't know. I had like 8-7. It was like a 3-bet pot.
Okay.
It was like queen something. I don't know. Whatever. The turn paired the queen, and then you remember we were like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were like, oh, if it came on the river instead, then this probably would have worked.
But yeah.
Also, I had been taunting him because he kept letting me bluff him, so it was just like a bad meta thing. Like
taunting.
Bro just has a five.
Like, you never call. Like I'm just gonna keep bluffing.
He just has ace five suited and just like.
No, he had. Oh, it was queen something six, and he had a six.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We now, here 7-6. We are,
and we died.
It kind of has to be one of those things where the fear or like the pain of losing or getting stacked is not worth as much as the called joy of stacking them.
Yeah.
Where like you play this pot versus kings with kings, see aces, get stacked. You're like, I could have done something different versus like the times when you do win the big pot
PTSD.
And they have queens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've just seen, you don't want to, I guess, re-experience that pain.
You
of,
can't.
I could have checked.
You can't both win the maximum and lose the minimum at the same time.
Yeah.
It's right. Conflicting mindset. You have to pick a lane. Either you want to win the maximum with your good hands, or you want to lose the minimum with your coolers.
And the maximum route is scarier, but more profitable.
So much more profitable. So, but so scary.
It's scary, yeah. Well, yeah. It's like when I used to play online, like the graphs, you know, like I was just working with Landon, my graph went from, you know, it was very kind of like steady, and then it was like, but it was going up. It was going up more overall, but it was like, you know,
a lot more emotional, a lot more emotional trauma in winning the maximum, but also a lot more money.
Yes,
in winning the maximum. Yeah. So you know, you gotta choose your fighter.
But you get numbed eventually. So that's better. Yeah.
Tortoise or the hare.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. The tortoise is just, you know, gonna have that steady, slow.
Yeah. Wind. You want to be a nymph or a warrior? You know? Right. Are you gonna be the little fairy that's casting spells on everybody and just like taking one magic point at
a
time?
That sounds fun, kind of.
Or are you gonna be the warrior that beheads people and takes all of their strength at once?
Yeah.
You know?
Gotta be a tank.
Do you want to take a chip out of their castle, or do you want the whole castle?
Right. You just want that thing to crumble. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I like these analogies.
Somebody say crumble.
Enough.
Yeah, Rudy did.
All right. Yesterday we asked you guys,
hungry ass dog,
please give me an example of something someone said to you that was so astonishingly stupid you can never forget it. Guapo says, have we taught you nothing? Nice. I don't think that was stupid. I think that was sage advice, actually.
It was astute.
Nadav said, was it astute? Oh, never mind. Yes, you're correct.
Right?
Yeah. Nadav says, has to be more rake is better.
That's great.
Tyler Gunther says, I was thinking about jamming to see where I was at. Player X.
When in doubt, all in.
Now, yeah. I can't read all of Ifro's. He managed to highlight everything stupid that's happened in the poker community over the last 18 months, and I applaud him for this.
It's so good.
Just go down to where it says Joe Burrow will win more Super Bowls.
I'm just going to read all the OnlyFriends affiliated ones, and they all apply to Conrad. The fiddle is some sort of woodwind instrument.
It is.
That is very stupid. Black licorice is so good.
It is good.
Also
black
very
stupid.
Yes.
Who likes black licorice?
Oh,
idiot.
Let's see. Joe Burrow will go to more Super Bowls than Patrick Mahomes.
It's coming, baby.
Yeah, keep holding your breath for that one,
coming.
Buddy.
Hashtag rig for chief.
Oh, man. And then finally, trapped him to the gills. I led so he would raise me. He fell for it, but he had a set. Very unlucky. Thank you guys so much. I got a couple plugs. I meant to do them at the top of the show and completely forgot.
Uh-oh.
New dates for the Dealer Academy. We've partnered with RF Poker. For those of you who are unfamiliar, this is Daniel Wyman's actually a part of this company, as is Manit and a few others that have been to the Academy. They have a new technology for RFID tables. It kind of automates everything it collects. Anyway, point is they're based out of Atlanta, and they've invited Jill Lopez, our Poker Out Loud dealer, to go host the dealing school in Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta area, March 21st to the 23rd, and you're interested in getting your certificate in order to be able to deal this summer, not only will she give you all the chops with rules and procedures, shuffling, dealing technique, chip handling, payouts, customer service, table management, casino etiquette and professionalism, practice sessions, but most importantly, she will help you with job placement assistance at the end of the academy. So if you guys are interested in that, hit hashtag dealer in the chat or just head to academy.solve4y.io. Also, quick reminder, we do have an academy coming up at the end of May. Cash Academy first, MTT Academy right before the WSOP.
Seats are starting to fill up.
Okay, let's go. Let's go fill them up. Cash is May 23rd to the 25th, I believe.
Correct.
And then the MTT Academy is the 27th?
To the 30th.
To the 30th.
That was a four-day.
Four-day Academy for the MTT. Get you guys all prepped for the WSOP. Matt Hunt will be leading the charge on that one. Again, academy.solve4y.io.
Also, Poker Out Loud. Yesterday we released the season finale.
That's right.
Season finale. It's all up there. You can watch the entire season. We'll be starting with On Second Thought very soon. And I think we'll be filming a new season.
Maybe
very
there should
soon
be another post
well.
Where people tag who they want to see.
Okay, I'll put it out there.
Okay, fine.
I'll throw it out. Well, it never amounts to anything. People get tagged, nobody wants to do it, you know.
Tag them enough, you know.
We tried to get Jeremy Becker.
Hassle them enough.
I had the creator game, but not Poker Out Loud.
I had Landon hassling him. He doesn't want to give away his strategy before the summer.
I understand,
but do you though? No. I don't get it. It's cash, and the actual. First of all, it's not a heads up battle, so it's not.
First of all,
he can come in for the second half, and his episodes won't get released till after the summer.
Oh, that's true too. That's also true. But I was gonna say the episodes won't even be released until the World Series is underway. But more importantly, it's not a heads up bet. It doesn't matter if Landon knows 100% what JBEX's strategy is.
Right.
It doesn't change anything. True. Anyway.
I think he means the rest of the
community. Well, yeah. I understand. Big, big Solver Y fans out there in the WSOP.
Better be.
Shout out to the WSOP. We'll be back tomorrow noon featuring Matt Hunt with another Wednesday episode of Strat Chat. Be sure to tune in then. Also, I didn't say it before, but if you guys want to submit your own In the Muck segment, head to our Discord channel. You can hit hashtag Discord in the chat beside you. We'll see you guys all tomorrow.
Peace.
Later. Peace.